You are Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
In a minute, cuz we live. We live.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, and you'll get $10 off of your next order. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day, local experts on the number one daily sports podcast network, and you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On Hornets. I'm on Twitter at Walker Mail. Nada is on Twitter at Nada the Scribe. And you can find our guest for today, a surprise guest that Nada decided to have just sprung on us today, but we're happy to have him.
You mean sprung on you?
That's true. Yeah, it really was your decision. You are the producer. You decided to do it. And we have Julian Council in with us today. You can find him on Twitter at Julian Council. Julian, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. This is also sprung on me. I was recording a podcast myself in the same podcast studio that you guys use. And I was like, hey, Walker's going to be here soon. You just want to hang around? I was like, yeah, sure. When he said hang around, I thought we were just going to, like, you know, talk, catch up for a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was going to, like, actually come and talk and catch up a little bit on the pod. But I'm happy to be here. Obviously, have plenty of Hornets takes, as many people know out there.
I'm scared about your Hornets takes.
You should be.
I'm scared about your takes being on this podcast, but we're going to get to them anyway. You do host the 704 podcast. By the way, people that are listening to this pod should go check that out. Again, it's the 704, and it's on the Queen City Podcast Network. As Julian said, we do always appreciate the Queen City Podcast Network for allowing us to record in their studios. And the latest episode going to be released today, right, where you have Josh Klein of the Riot Report joining you to talk about some of the Carolina Panthers things going on. NFL this weekend against the Raiders should be a lot of fun for you to drop that and everybody to try to get all the information they need on the first game for the Carolina Panthers. Now, the reason that I'm worried about Julian Council's takes on this podcast is because for the longest time, your pinned tweet was a GIF of the Hornets blimp deflating and falling amongst all of the fans that were there at the Charlotte Coliseum to illustrate exactly the disbelief that you had in this organization going anywhere positive. But it's not there anymore. Does that mean that you have turned 180 degrees and saying, you know what? This looks like a team that looks like it's going in the right direction.
No.
You're not feeling that anymore, even with the third overall pick?
I still have the tweet bookmarked to be put there eventually, be pinned. The only reason it changed it, because I started this podcast, and I want the first thing people see when they go to my Twitter page is the latest podcast episode. So just trying to help promote myself by doing that. But at a certain point in time, I will probably pin that again. And also, if anything ever goes awry, I will retweet that tweet with the words bump.
Yeah.
Because I've done that multiple times. So how do I feel about the organization right now?
Yeah. So I guess what you want to do is you just want people not to get it twisted out there. It is only to pub your own podcast as to why you changed your tweet. Nothing to do with your belief in the organization.
That ain't changed.
Right.
So, I still feel the same.
All right. So let's get your overall thoughts on this. We have never recorded your thoughts on the Hornets before on this pod. So let's go ahead with some of the new things going on. Mitch Kupchak been here a couple years now, been a part of, what is it, three NBA drafts now? Is that right? That's correct. Well, will be a part of his third NBA draft, right, coming up with the third overall pick. So made a couple of decisions the past couple of off seasons. Young players, Julian, let's get your thoughts on them, man. How do you think they, what do you think the direction looks like that they're going in right now?
I was pretty vocal after year one when it was the Hornets who decided that they wanted to go chase the playoffs. By doing that, they brought in Tony Parker. They decided they were going to keep Kemba Walker when he probably had his highest trade value possible. And I was cool with it because I want to see the team win here in town. I think far too often we settle for mediocrity in the city and are cool with them, you know, just maybe being right there in that bubble. So I was cool with them going to go chase that. They chased it. They didn't make the playoffs. And Kemba ended up leaving for not nothing because they did trade for Terry Rozier and gave him the 3-year, $58 million contract.
There are other people that would describe that as nothing.
Yeah, most people would call it nothing, although Terry still would average, 18 a game and pretty much lived up to his contract his first year. So I don't think anyone has any leg to stand on when it comes to Terry Rozier and whether he's lived up to the billing so far here at the Charlotte Hornets. Now, he might not be the lead guard that they hoped he would be, but I still think the Hornets are in a decent situation in the backcourt as it sits here. So I thought year one was a failure. Year two, had no expectation. And to have Devontae Graham come out and become the lead guard that he was this past season, and to be in the Rising Stars game, the Miles Bridges, who was really playing well at the end of the season prior to the shutdown, and Hornets not being asked to go to the bubble, and in PJ Washington, who I was just kind of like, okay, first round pick, we'll see how he goes. I thought his final year at Kentucky, his second year there, that I thought he should have been the SEC Player of the Year. The market improvement that he had in being a better shooter, especially at the free throw line, which cost Kentucky a couple years ago a chance to go to the Final Four, missing those shots against Kansas State. The improvement that he showed, I like PJ Washington a lot. I like Tyler Hero more, but that's fine. I was cool with PJ Washington. And for him to be a part of the Rising Stars game, and for Terry Rozier to play the way he played, and some of the signs that the Martin twins showed in Jalen McDaniels, I actually feel pretty okay.
Yeah, about it's okay the to say it's okay, Julie.
Of the organization.
Give into those feelings.
Is that
okay.
Optimism I hear?
It's a tiny bit of optimism. It is a tiny bit of optimism. And the fact that they got the number three pick, I didn't even watch the lottery.
Yeah.
One of my buddies was like, hey, you watch the lottery? And I was like, why would I watch the annual Day of Disappointment here in Charlotte?
So you're not allowed to watch it again, is what you're telling all these Hornets.
That's
fans.
Fine. I don't have to watch it. I don't want to sit there. I mean, you wait all that time for them just to tell you where they just give me the pick.
Yeah.
That's all I really want. But it's made for TV special now. I didn't watch it. And I get a text midway through. My buddy's like, Julian, like in all caps. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not watching. He's like, no, turn it on. It's like, fine, I'll turn it on. And you get the Final Four picks. Like, I was like, oh, the Hornets are in the Final Four. How the hell did this happen?
Right.
Okay. Surprise. I thought we'd be picking like 11th, as we always do. And at number four, what goes to the
Bulls, I believe.
Goes to the Bulls. I'm like, oh, top three. And I was thinking, like, there's no – my heart started to beat.
Oh, of course.
I was like, there's no way that these dudes are about to get the number one pick. And it was number three. And I was like, you know what? I'll take number three. I will take it. Because it puts him in a position to what we always talk about with this Hornets team. I obviously need a center desperately, a modern center. Whether it's a rim runner, a rim protector, someone who can step out and knock down a three, they need someone like that. They need a consistent wing scorer who can shoot the ball. You have two of those in the top three potentially in this draft, in Anthony Edwards out of Georgia and in James Wiseman out of Memphis. And I was a big Wiseman guy going back to the start of college basketball season, kind of maybe a little bit less on him now than I was just because we haven't been able to see him play. But those are two things that they could use. And also potentially LaMelo Ball, who might have superstar potential. So that's what they need. If they want to actually take the foundation of Devontae Graham and a PJ Washington and Miles Bridges, we'll see how those guys work out positionally, and then the Martin twins, Jalen McDaniels, whatever else they have on this roster, they got to find a superstar at some point in time. And they also need to find some veterans to teach these guys how to be pros. Because while Devontae might be like 25, which is super old for a guy who's only played really 1 year in the NBA, not going to count his first year, who's was barely up here. He's going back and forth from the G League with Dwayne Bacon. I think that they have an opportunity to maybe finally do something. And Mitch has done well in the draft, except for the Miles Bridges draft, because Shea, better player than Miles Bridges, and also in a position of need, and he's, what, 21? So yeah, I'd rather have that situation. And then also Michael Porter Jr., by the way, you know, was only one of the best players in the bubble before the playoffs.
Am I going to have to intercept you, Nada, as you try to dive over the table because of the Michael Porter Jr. take he just gave?
I've heard his Michael Porter Jr. take. He has texted me his Michael Porter Jr. take. He knows I'm sick of hearing about Michael Porter Jr. and the fact that the Hornets should have drafted
him. I'm sick of talking about it.
Well, I'm glad he brought it to the pod so he could say it to your face and see your live reaction to it. So
I'm glad you're entertained by that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though, and I'll let you go, Walker, because I know I'm a huge gas bag.
Yes, you are.
The MPJ thing was, I felt as a Hornets fan who's been through hell, I figured that if we did get him, the back would immediately crumble.
Yeah.
So it didn't really matter.
Right.
And if he went somewhere else, that he'd become a star, which is happening.
That's more of the Nada theory of the good things that happen with other franchises will not happen with the Hornets, like Donovan Mitchell blowing up. That doesn't happen here in Charlotte.
No.
And MPJ blowing up with Denver in the bubble. That doesn't happen here in Charlotte. That's more of the Nada theory. That like is common ground.
Secretly, Julian is one of my, again, the biggest converts of my Hornets nihilism. He is. He's absolutely one of the biggest converts I have in my Hornets nihilism church. And Brother Julian, you are welcome as a deacon in my church anytime.
Thank you. And the Donovan Mitchell thing, I kind of agree with him a little bit. Like, it hurts that Steve Clifford really wanted him and that they worked him out so many times,
right,
only to land a Malik Monk who's only on the roster because he scored 47 against Carolina that one time. But anyway,
that's the only reason he's on the roster, just because of that one game.
And the Knicks didn't.
That was enough.
And the Knicks didn't take him too, so we can blame the Knicks too. I mean, come on, he fits the pedigree of college player who played really well, who was an All-American caliber player, and then comes here. But yeah, I mean, the 47 points against, you know, Mike's alma mater makes a lot of sense. But if you watch Kentucky,
it's been Kentucky guys lately, though. It's not been the Carolina guys.
Never, the Carolina thing's never made any. They haven't drafted a Carolina player since they were the Bobcats with Sean May and Raymond Felton. They haven't done that in years. But
Sean May's been bad enough to where you can justify never drafting a Carolina player again.
Well, there haven't been Carolina players that you would wanted to draft lately in like with the NBA. So it does. It's fine, but it's been more Kentucky guys. And Malik Monk hasn't really worked out. Like, he was playing well. It looked like he was finally turning the corner last season.
Yeah, it was unfortunate what happened. Yeah, with the
Julian
violence.
Was actually starting to get on the Malik Monk bandwagon. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, I was. I was getting on it. I was also, you know, a little skeptical. But I was kind of like, fine, if you're going to do this, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then it doesn't happen anymore. And so to echo all of that, I mean, I'm with you on that it's okay to feel good about the Hornets, at least right now, in the context of this being the infant stages of building upon something real here, because it is still infant stages, but you hit on a second round pick in Devontae that blows up in a way usual second round picks, one, don't even get utilized, but also he actually blows up for the Hornets, where the last time on the court, you can say second round pick actually looked somewhat okay. It was Jeffrey Taylor, and that was short-lived. Oh. And so then we can go to Devontae Graham, where that was the guy that actually did explode. And now here we have the Martin twins actually looking pretty decent, at least worth paying attention to further into their career. Same thing with McDaniels, as you mentioned. I'm a fan of what Mitch Kupchak has done. You go to the SGA selection and then trading him for Miles Bridges. It's probably the worst decision that he's made so far.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
If you want to do the Dwight Howard buyout thing, I know people were frustrated with that, having Bismack Biyombo on the books a couple of years where they're just playing musical chairs with bad contracts. I get that being a pretty bad contract, too, especially if you were looking to make the playoffs. Well, the buyout, Mitch Kupchak decided to send to the Nets, I believe, and then just play the musical chairs.
Well, you know, that is Mitch. That's a Rich Cho problem.
Because he brought Dwight in.
Because he brought it, because he made the well, it's not even, it's not that he brought Dwight, it's that he traded
Plumlee.
Because he traded Roy Hibbert, and who was the other dude? I can't even remember. It's been so, Miles
Spencer.
Spencer Hawes for Plumlee. So, I mean, Tro created a situation, and then it was awesome. Mitch Kupchak was deciding, like, let's go to the playoffs. So, and I also can't have Dwight on the roster. So, let's move it around and bring these guys in and also clear up some money so that we have the opportunity to bring in Tony Parker and go chase the playoffs. So, no, I agree. So, you could probably say, if anything, it's two worst decisions. That was two worst decisions by far are chasing the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I guess hindsight 2020, not trading Kimba, they weren't ever going to re-sign him.
Right.
And the SGA thing.
Yeah. And the thing is, and for sure, it deserves criticism. Everybody remembers how angry I was at Spectrum Center when they traded SGA. I wanted him so badly, and then they decided to trade him immediately after 5 minutes of selecting him, and they ripped my heart right out. But I do feel good about what Mitch Kupchak has done, because it seems like they actually are pretty organized now, where everybody's on the same page, and they're actually evaluating talent at a pretty high level. And so I do trust, for the most part, Mitch Kupchak dealing with this third overall pick, with his track record that he's had with the Hornets and with the Lakers so far. We got to take a quick break. Julian Council going to be in with us for the next couple of segments as well. But first, I want to talk to you guys about DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list, and you need to give yourself one less thing to worry about. Let DoorDash take care of your next meal. You want Chinese, they want pizza, someone else is craving froyo. There's something for everyone on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, and they bring it right to your door. Ordering is easy too. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and a $0 delivery fee on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Again, that's $5 off and a $0 delivery fee on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's all one word. No spaces, Locked On NBA. Again, don't forget that's code Locked On NBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Julian Council in with us the next couple of segments. Locked On Hornets podcast.
This is Locked On Hornets.
Final play, though, was pretty
pretty doo-doo. If you missed the shot, you missed the shot, but that was and that good. It was reminiscent of Hornets inbounds years past.
I was going to say, yeah, it was doo-doo, as you said, and it reminded of, what was the other shot that you didn't like, Doug?
It's a technical term, technical basketball term. I'm a smart basketball guy.
It's time for more of the Locked on Hornets podcast.
I mentioned the SGA thing when they traded SGA. That was something that ripped my heart out. Man, also another special place in my heart that I had for a player, whether it was SGA for 5 minutes or if it was Marvin Williams for ever, basically, yeah. After we saw him play in that 05 tournament, along with that freshman year that he had at North Carolina. Marvin Williams, he retires really immediately after that loss that they had to the Miami Heat, ending their season, a gentleman's sweep that Miami was able to take care of over Milwaukee. And it's funny that Marvin Williams is a guy that was a second overall pick, where people are so quick to jump on and just destroy the reputation of the guys that don't ever pan out to the value in which you hope they would be with a pick like the second overall one. And on Twitter, everyone is defending him. And I completely agree with that. Mm-hmm. I was just surprised to see that everybody across the national NBA land is actually defending Marvin Williams for never being a bust and having a really good long NBA career, while also adapting to the modern NBA game, increasing his 3-point attempts per game as his career went on. He's a 36% 3-point shooter. He shot over 40% with the Hornets, was a big part of that first postseason that they had when the Hornets were back in town, when Nick Batum was able to get all that money the following year. We don't need to go down that road.
The summer of 2016.
But we already know what it was. Marvin was a big part of that, and he got that contract as well. Bucks tried to use him, and on their journey to a potential championship, eventually Miami wasn't going to have it. But Marvin was in the league for so long. He played 1,072 career games. That's tied with Michael Jordan for the fifth most by a North Carolina player, by the way. So certainly has his place over, 05 to 2020, a really long NBA career. I think pretty widely considered one of our favorite Hornets of the past decade, if not for his play on the court, at least for his character winning these media awards. Julian, how much did it hit home for you that Marvin Williams is retiring from professional basketball?
I love Marvin Williams. Yeah. I've loved Marvin Williams since I was, 12 back in 2005.
I'm in the same boat.
The Duke-Carolina game when Tar Heels came back from 9 down, about 2.5 minutes
the
left.
The tip-in, right?
Smith Center, he got the tip-in and one. And they've said that the Smith Center has never been louder than in that moment. And that was the same day Illinois had finally lost a game that season when they were undefeated all year long, lost to Ohio State. So I was thinking, as a young Carolina fan, oh, we're going to be number one in the country. This is huge. Just came back, beat Duke finally. It was Roy's fourth game against Duke at Carolina in his second year there. And that was huge. And you also go to the national title game right after Luther Head had tied the game at 70. Marvin Williams goes down there, gets a tip in, that puts him up by two, and eventually that put him up for good because Carolina wins the national title 75-70 over Illinois. So I've loved them since that day. And for me, really, as a Carolina fan, I don't care what these guys go and do in the NBA. I hope they have success. It's not going to matter to me because typically they're not going to play for my team. So I was very happy to see Marvin come to Charlotte and have a role on that 2016 team, the 2015-16 team that went 48-34 and took Miami to 7 games, and so it was so exciting, kind of really brought back life to the Spectrum, or I guess Time Warner Cable Arena at the time, really brought back life here in the NBA, because with the name being back and all the years of mediocrity and the doldrums with the Bobcats, I loved him, man. He was a great guy. He's a gentleman, always a dude in the locker room, media members knew they could go talk to, and I was so excited for him when he went to Milwaukee with the buyout back in February that he had a chance to win a championship and go out on top. And unfortunately, it didn't work out that way with Giannis's injury. And I guess you could talk about the stubbornness of Mike Budenholzer. But I'm always going to love Marvin Williams, kid from Bremerton, Washington, who came to Chapel Hill, won a national championship, left after the year, and then 15 years, averaged 10-6. I know he might have been the number two overall pick, and that might not be a Hall of Fame career. But you played 15 years in the league and averaged double figures.
It's a long time, man.
And was a key starting player for a lot of playoff teams. Well, not a lot of playoff teams, for some teams. I have a lot of respect for that guy.
When I think about Marvin Williams, I think the career, his biggest sin was not being Chris Paul or Deron Williams. And you can make a case that he's had a better career overall than Deron Williams, and his career lasted longer and a lot and adapted to the changes of the league better than Deron Williams did. a lot of this, and this is going to be slight hot takey of me, but no one's really surprised, especially those that are in this room. I would say that he's probably the second best Hornets franchise Hornets free agent ever. And I would say it's not close. It's Al Jefferson, obviously, because of what Al Jefferson did in his 3 years. But right after that is Marvin Williams. I know Rick Bonnell has said he's the greatest Hornets teammate of all time. Mm-hmm. And when we start factoring all these things in, the fact that he was the workout standard here for basically as long as he was here, he was the guy that was getting guys to do their last set in the weight room and this, that, and the third. And to a man, if you wanted to know anything more, like any nuance in the game about basketball, you went to Marvin Williams. He was going to be the best guy to explain it to you and to paint that picture. And there's, like I said, I tweeted out this out yesterday. I hope he's back here in this like somewhere in the organization, because this organization does need him and does need his voice. And if he can help develop guys and work with Nick Friedman in helping these new draft picks, I think that's a very, 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 very functional way for him to help. And he's going to be a hell of an executive or a hell of whatever he decides to do.
Yeah, there's definitely a post-career for him in basketball. And you're right about any time that you might text Brian, the part of the PR staff for the Charlotte Hornets, and you wanted a player, more often than not, it was going to be Marvin Williams who was given to you, because he was always so, so generous with his time. You know, like I said, winning media awards out here because of his character. And he was always so fun to talk to. And he could be comedic with you in your interview. He could break down the game. And it was something that really was valuable to them on defense as a team defender, you know, calling out all the different coverages that you were going to have to undergo as well. I mean, obviously a Steve Clifford guy too, if you think about just the kind of guy mm-hmm. Steve Clifford Absolutely. Would really like. And so, you know, that made a lot of sense at the time. And I'm glad he made his money in the NBA for a long time. Like, that's awesome to me to continue to get all those contracts and stay in the league for 15 years and get that one last big contract before he called it quits. I mean, I love every single bit of that.
That's a successful career. Like, hell whether yeah. you, because like number two pick, I guess, what you think that's going to be a Hall of Famer one day? I don't even know how you even quantify what it is. But to stick around for 15 years. And I saw on Twitter last night, there was a photo of the cover page of Slam Magazine with the 2004 High School All-Americans that has Sean Livingston. Had a good career. Right. Won multiple NBA titles because he was at Golden State.
The Warriors really revived what was going to be crazy disappointing. Like exactly. For Sean Livingston. Yeah, but you're right. Like before that, yeah, I mean, Marvin was above that
yeah.
for what he did.
Yeah, I would still say he had a better career. I mean, Sean Livingston made his money, got the championship. So I guess when you have the championships, you might be able to say that's better than longevity, even though Livingston played with two less years than Marvin Williams. And had he not had the injury, could have been a superstar. There's also Dwight Howard, who obviously is going to be a Hall of Famer, had a better mm-hmm. career than Marvin Williams. Sebastian Telfair in jail.
Nope, sure.
Al Jefferson was an all-star, probably had a better career than Marvin Williams, but he was here in Charlotte as well. Josh Smith. Probably had a little bit better career than Marvin. Yeah. But
well, he became a joke at the end, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Marvin was never a joke.
Yeah, Marvin was a consistently solid player from the day he stepped into the league into the day he left. Now, his scoring might have gone down this past season just because of his role here in Charlotte and in Milwaukee, but he developed from a guy who was just a post-power forward to a 3-and-D player in the modern NBA, and that should be celebrated.
So you, Nada, before we started recording, were willing to go out there and say that Marvin Williams is the second best free agent signing of all time behind Al Jefferson.
Yes.
And I raised my eyebrow and I tried to think of some other free agent signings. One that I came up with, if I were to put up a toss-up between Marvin Williams and David Wesley, who would be the better free agent signing between the two?
David Wesley was a part of more winning teams, but I would say functionally as an mm-hmm. organizational piece, I would probably give it to Marvin.
Where would you go, Julian?
I'd probably say Jeremy Lin.
Is that's the one you would go with? Just
no,
that one year?
No.
Jeremy Lin over Marvin and David Wesley.
I just felt like Jeremy Lin in that one season allowed the Hornets to have Kimba and him in the backcourt really open up things, having two lead guards on the floor, and they went 48-34. Just saying, Jeremy Lin.
So the outside.
What would have happened had he stayed instead of gone to Brooklyn? I don't know. Maybe NBA title.
The outside reference of Jeremy Lin. Poor David Wesley, man. No love for David Wesley. I think I did catch some heat from Doug when I put David Wesley ahead of Jamal Mashburn on the all-time Hornets.
Exactly. List. I do remember that.
I didn't deserve that, by the way. I'm going to go with David.
You didn't?
But Marvin, I still love you. Other things that we love here on the podcast, it's Built Bar, who is back with us, and they have six new flavors. They have caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and an apple almond crisp. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. It's kind of like a dessert. If you go out, work out, maybe you go for a run, you get to come back and it's not one of these nasty bars that are so dry. It is a Built Bar for you. So you kind of get a dessert after you work out. Plus you get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last with Built Bar. So what you need to do is you need to go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, again, all one word, and you'll get $10 off of your next order. Use promo code Locked On for $10 off at builtbar.com. One more segment to go here on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
This is Locked On Hornets.
Have you ever had that one little bug that's just like, it's not completely out, but it's like kind of dangling in there, and then you try to sniff it back up to go away for good, but it just, it'll keep popping back. That's what I'm going through right now.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
I think we like to pay attention to the small market teams elsewhere in the NBA because here we are in Charlotte, a small market franchise that has not had a ton of success here with the Charlotte Hornets. We long to be the Milwaukee Bucks where we get our Giannis one day. We long to be some of these other small market teams that have success and are able to go on a deep run into the playoffs, maybe even win a damn championship. And we're looking in the Eastern Conference now, Nada, where the Milwaukee Bucks for two straight years were among the most dominant teams in, I think, the most dominant teams. Is it 2 years in a row they had the best regular season?
They did.
Certainly this year, before the season abruptly came to an end, that they had the best record at one point being on pace for 70 wins, like what the Warriors did a couple of years ago. So we get to see all that success in the regular season, and then in the playoffs, they have to take game four to overtime to avoid the sweep, and eventually they get a gentleman's sweep anyway. Now the big question is, where is Giannis going? Is he going to team up with a super team somewhere that is going to be a big market, because super teams don't really develop in a small market unless you're Golden State where you already have those drafts and whatever. That's the question now, and it kind of leads me to believe, it leads me to ask the question, where are all these teams at the top of the Eastern Conference and their futures? Because, man, Milwaukee's got an old roster. They got guys like George Hill, Kyle Korver, Marvin Williams. I mean, Brook Lopez is going to be there, but he's only getting older. You really think about that roster, it's pretty damn old, where Giannis is one of the younger dudes on that team. And if he leaves, then Milwaukee's going to start coming down. Toronto is probably always going to be pretty formidable. I don't know what's going to happen with them going forward.
What's going to happen with Van Vliet?
Yeah.
Like, that's a big question for next year for them.
And you know, Kyle Lowry's going to be a year older. My question to you is, what are some of the most interesting future questions that you have, maybe outside of Giannis, because it has to be Giannis with him being one of the best players in the NBA.
My biggest question is, what do the teams like Indiana look like? Like, we know Brooklyn's going to get better. We know that Boston's going to basically be the same, if not better. What do the teams that basically fit that 3-8, what do they look like? Is Orlando going to get better, or are they going to drop out? What does Washington look like? Because Washington, with a healthy Wall and a healthy Beal, is going to be good enough to get you in that top seven. I wonder, because again, when we start looking at the future of these small market teams, like, there are a lot of lessons that we can learn from this. Like, at certain points, and we've talked about this before, is Borrego going to be the guy that develops these guys? And are you going to have to get a quote-unquote closer coach? Because as we're seeing with Budenholzer, you only get so good, and then once you get to that 60-win thing and you're going to be staunchly anti-adjustment, you got to go. So what are you going to do now?
Yeah, like, you see all these teams at the top, man. It is interesting to me to see what the Bucks are going to do. Like, I think Miami is here to stay. Like, they're going to be a team that is going to be in the running to get Giannis. You know, Boston is here to stay with Jaylen and Jason Tatum. You know, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum are going to be here to stay with the Boston Celtics.
Kemba, three more years.
Yeah, well, sure, but at least you're in good hands with a couple of the other, you know, Jason Tatum is going to be an MVP candidate, and Jaylen Brown is someone that has already been pretty good. what do you see when you look at the Eastern Conference, Julian, maybe how it relates to the Hornets and how they can continue to move up as they try to rebuild their franchise?
Yeah, because as great as it is having three guys in a Rising Stars game, like none of those three guys I can even foresee being at the level of Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. Now, none of those guys were drafted in those slots, so I don't think you should have the expectation that they would be that. Just looking at the Eastern Conference, like staying power, Miami has staying power with the young roster that they have, Bam Adebayo being one of the most improved players in the NBA this season, Jimmy Butler just being the same dude he was last year in the playoffs for the 76ers. Jimmy fits in with that culture perfectly. Boston, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. I don't think Toronto, like the Fred VanVleet thing's interesting. I think Toronto's going to probably stay there as well at the top, just especially the way they developed. They have a head coach, Nick Nurse, who obviously a championship-winning head coach, and he's shown this year again that he knows exactly what he's doing without even having Kawhi Leonard on the roster. Giannis says he wants to stay in Milwaukee. That's what he said last night. He's like, most people, you know, will go leave. I'm going to go tear down his wall. It's like, okay, if he stays, then Milwaukee doesn't go anywhere. The Pacers, if Oladipo can find his former form and Sabonis, who's already an all-star, continues to be an all-star, Indiana should be fine. So it's just one of those, and Brooklyn's going to be good for now. Philly, they're not good enough to ever win anything, but they're not bad like they were a couple years ago. I think Atlanta is probably the team to look out. Washington makes sense to a Bill and Wall, but Atlanta, Trey Young's already an all-star game starter. Eventually, with all the top picks that they've had, those guys are going to develop into pros, and they're going to be a team that's consistently in the playoffs. What their ceiling is, I don't know. So you have those teams that aren't in the playoffs right now. You already have the teams that are locked in that top eight, I guess minus Orlando. I wouldn't lock them in even though they've been there the last 2 years. I have a hard time seeing the Hornets be able to get into that top eight until they really find that superstar where these guys really develop to the point where this is a really solid roster all around.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Like, are you a fan of tanking again where you hope they lose a lot of games to try to get one of these top draft picks next year? Or would you rather them actually have some improvement, get closer to the playoffs, even if they don't get in? You can't get much closer with them having the ninth seed overall in the Eastern Conference.
It's funny.
Well, I mean, behind Washington, they had that weird thing where Washington fell behind them after their bubble performance. But you want to see Charlotte take a step up, and you don't really care about the odds getting hurt for another potential top three pick next year.
Because I don't trust the draft process. So there's, I mean, I know the lottery worked out this year, but I wouldn't be crossing my fingers after what I've seen here as a Hornets fan that it's going to work again next year. And, you know, Mitch, he did well last year. The SGA thing, MPJ thing, we want to talk about it. I don't know. I think he could have done better. But Miles Bridges was really playing well at the end of the last season. Yeah. So I'm not going to say he got the pick wrong. I just think of the NBA, when you have it's a point guard driven league, SGA would have been great, especially at the size that he plays at 6'6". It's hard. I want to see this team compete and try to win games. I don't want to see them lose ever. Like, I'm not a fan of tanking. The 76ers went out there and they did the process thing, and it's led to them having a 6'9 point guard who can't shoot, Embiid, who is always injured or he's crying about something and probably isn't a true leader for Philadelphia, and then a bunch of dudes around them who also really aren't enough good shooters. So that's kind of roster construction and what they did with Elton Brand, and they got rid of their coach. So I don't know. I would rather them try and keep pushing forward, be savvy with trades, see if they can find a diamond in the rough in the draft, because we've seen in their draft slots that they drafted at with guys with Malik Monk and with Miles Bridges, there were some really good players in that area, like Donovan Mitchell, like SGA, like Michael Porter Jr. I mean, Giannis was drafted in the later part of the first round.
He's like 15th, I think.
So you can find good players later in the draft. It doesn't have to be top three, because with this top three and what they've said is not a deep draft, are we sure LaMelo Ball, who can't really shoot, is going to be a superstar?
Yes.
Anthony Edwards, are we sure about him? Are we sure about James Wiseman's development?
What about
you, not at all.
None of these guys, if you're in a top three, no one's a guarantee. If Philadelphia thought Jason Tatum was going to be a superstar like he is, do you think they would have drafted Markelle Fultz?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, though. It's because that I want the Hornets to do exactly what Boston did in that draft, trade back and get some of these other guys, because there are so many different questions that we have specifically with this draft class. Boston trading back, really liking Jason Tatum enough to say, hey, we're going to get the best player in the draft and we're going to get some assets because of it too. Of course, Danny Ainge is going to do that. And then you see the Hornets in a situation where they have the third overall pick. And it's just, I don't trust these guys towards the top. And I've said it a couple of times. I wouldn't mind looking for some assets and then going back to something like sixth or seventh and continuing to have more bites at the apple because the draft is so imperfect, because it's such a tougher process.
I guess I would say, man, looking at the draft, those top three, because the top three guys that we've all talked about, and who knows, maybe the Hornets do what they always do and get the accomplished college player and they draft Obi Toppin out of Dayton, which would be just positionally interesting. But again, it's all about it's about drafting talent and then figuring out down the road. And
Kupchak has said that to his point.
So with those top three, the guy I want is Anthony Edwards. Does he make it to three? I don't know. Wiseman obviously would fit. He'd be a franchise center, but is he going to develop into a guy who fits the modern game where where you can have a two-man game like Denver has been playing in the playoffs with Jamal Murray and then with Nikola Jokic, where you can get that pick and roll and Jokic can knock down a three, or you can get to the bat who he can roll to the basket. And obviously Wiseman's a better athlete than Jokic. What does it matter? Jokic is out there cooking dudes regardless. Is he going to become a guy who can really fit that modern pick-and-roll game, can step out and knock down a three? I don't know if he's going to develop that. I would hope, because Miles Turner would be someone exactly who I'd like, who, coming out of Texas, didn't have that skill set, but he's developed that. Will Wiseman develop that? I don't know. So say Edwards is gone and maybe LaMelo is gone. Do you take Wiseman, or do you decide that, hey, let's trade back, get some assets, and maybe get another guy who could fit in that top 10 and help this team? I don't know. It's tough.
Sounds like you're kind of cool with anybody they select at three, to be honest. Like, just hearing you, it seems like it's so unsure. You really don't care who is that pick at number three. Like, it doesn't seem like you have better interest with Edwards, Wiseman, or Ball this monumental amount more than the other player.
I mean, if I had to rank it, it'd probably be like Edwards top, then Wiseman just because of the
much,
positional need, and then LaMelo. Like, I don't know. It's hard because I really don't know. Because with this team, when they've drafted, it hasn't mattered because they come away with Cody Zeller and they come away with Frank Kaminsky. Mm-hmm. So, cool, they have the third pick. In all likelihood, they're going to draft the wrong
guy. There we go. That's what I wanted. I wanted to get OG Julian counsel. None of this optimism that you were saying earlier.
It doesn't matter. They're going to probably pick the wrong guy. That's the way that things have worked. They usually pick the wrong guy.
I like that we came full circle on that. Surely enough, we had enough optimism come out of Julian counsel to the point where you did, and I appreciate the effort, but then we got back to, I want the OG Julian, man. That's what I wanted, and that's what we got. You can hear the OG Julian counsel on his podcast. It's the 704. It's on the Queen City Podcast Network. Instead of the deflating blimp tweet he had pinned, he now has the latest episode constantly pinned to his Twitter feed, and you can find his Twitter feed at Julian Council. It was fun, man. Thanks for sticking around. I know Nada put this on you, but I appreciate you hopping on and talking Hornets with us.
Yeah, it's not like I'm hungry or anything, Nada, so thank you for hijacking my lunch.
Nada doesn't care. He does what
you're
he
right,
wants.
I don't.
No, but it was fun. I love what you guys do, and I always love talking bugs with you.
Yeah, man, we'll do it again for sure. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Hornets. Thanks again to Built Bar for supporting the show. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA, really any episode on the Locked On Podcast Network. Have a great day. We'll be back with you tomorrow.